Hey guys, happy Monday. Just having a good day. Quick update video for today. I am in my town where my French home is, Chambon-sur-Lignon, and today is Monday. You know, my entire plan today is still, I'm still fighting IKEA furniture, but I'm winning. I will conquer. So, having a quiet day today. Did church yesterday with my friends Debbie and Jean-Luc Mackers in the Monestrol area. Had a great time there. And all is good. It's a bit overcast here today in France. I have a couple more days here and I begin the long journey home on Wednesday. So that's my day. Hey, I want to continue just some thoughts on living by the desires of God. And I began this series a few days ago by saying God does not want us to have a journey, a walk with him where we are trying to please him. Now you say, Graham, like what's wrong with trying to please God? Well, the problem with trying to please God is you will fail. You'll nearly always fail, and then you end up in this kind of pressure thing. And God's plan, you know, God gave the people of Israel in the old covenant the law, and he said, do these things and you'll please me. And none of them could ever do those things. Even the people who fanatically tried, things would get worse and worse. And the whole point of the new covenant of Jesus coming is what the Lord said in Jeremiah. He said, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I'll write my laws in your heart and you'll delight to do my will. And every day I've been quoting that scripture where David says, Lord, I delight to do your will because your law is written within my heart. So I believe God wants us to have a life where we just do what we want to do, where we please ourselves in that way. But we're pleasing ourselves knowing that we're one in Christ and that we're really pleasing him. Yeah, in a way that's God's, it's the analogy Paul uses actually for marriage, where he says, you know, in a way most problems in marriage come from selfishness, come from two people trying to get the other one to do what they want to do, rather than realizing we are one. And then to love the other is to actually love ourselves. Selfishness should die in that sense in a couple, in theory, when they realize they're one. And I think when we realize we're one in Christ, selfishness, the self, should die on the cross and we should live as new people. So I'm really interested in how do we desire to do the right things? How do we get away from trying not to follow laws and get to the place where our desires are doing that? And it's really important as well, because God wants our emotions. He doesn't want us to be ruled by our emotions, but he wants our emotions to be these passionate things that drive us forward. When you're emotionally engaged in something, it will propel you forward. And when we delight and we desire to walk in the Word of God, walk in the presence of God, the people of God, the ways of God, man, things get really easy. So I want to give you another key today to stepping into the desires of God. And it's really this. A lot of this is all about focus. Jesus said in Luke 11:34, when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. And I want to just real quick today suggest to you that so much of what you desire, frankly, comes from what you look at. And you can change your desires by changing your focus, by changing your viewpoint, by changing what you look at. The Bible said, talks about Adam and Eve, and they looked at the fruit and they saw it was good. It looked tasty. It was going to make one wise. And so often our focus is on the wrong thing. And then we wonder why our desires are headed in the wrong direction. And I believe it's actually really simple. You know, what you look at, what you listen to, what you think about, what you say will determine the state of your heart. And the heart is, in a way, it's like a big ship. It's hard to instantly turn it around. But if you begin stepping in the right direction, if you begin today, you can build a life where you're overflowing with the desires of God and you have no desire for bad things. Yeah. So what are you looking at? Now, I think at times we're all going to see things. At times we're all going to be exposed to things. It's a difference between observing something, seeing something, and actually choosing to look. There's a great passage in Revelation I love where, I think it's in the Amplifier, but the Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he says, I looked. I think it's the Amplifier that says, I looked with the intention of seeing. You know, I think God wants us to be really thoughtful and intentional about what we look at. I think God wants us to think through what we put in front of our eyes, like TV, media, social media, things like that. You know, also on the screen of our heart, what is the focus of our heart? And the more we look at God, the more the desires and the focus of our heart changes. Hebrews 11 speaks about all these great heroes of faith, and then it wraps it up in Hebrews 12 with three words, looking unto Jesus. And I think Ruth Heflin used to say, you become like the one you worship. And if I can kind of misquote that in a way, you become like the one you look at. You become like the thing your focus is upon. And I encourage you today that we can, I think the danger is we're waiting for some feeling. We're waiting for some emotion. When I feel passionate about reading my Bible, I'll start reading my Bible. No, it's actually the other way around. Start reading your Bible, put your eyes on it, and the passion and the feeling and the emotion will begin to come. But it's the tail, not the head. Don't let the tail wag the dog, so to speak. Yeah? So you can be passionate about what you look at. You know, the Bible speaks of Abraham and Lot, how they came to a place they were so blessed they had to separate. And Abraham was, you know, Abraham knew that he was blessed. It wasn't the land that was blessed. Abraham said to Lot, you choose one direction and I'll go the other. I don't really mind. Abraham was saying, wherever I go, I'm going to be blessed. And the Bible says Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. I just want you to get this image. Every day, Lot comes out of his tent, stretches, puts the coffee machine on and looks. And what does he see? Sodom and Gomorrah. The next chapter, he's living there. Yeah? The next chapter, he's literally adopted the ways of the culture. When the angels come to rescue him and his family, he's actually, you know, offering his daughters to be abused, like yuck, 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 from this, you know, to these demonic people. That's a really horrible thing. But if you keep pulling on that story, you know, his wife looked back, didn't she? You know, even when God's like dragging them away for the sake of Abraham, and his wife looks back. If you know the stories later, it kind of gets worse and worse and worse. That, you know, his daughters are now adopted the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I don't even want to go into some of the escapades they did. Read it in the Bible, okay? But here's my point. What you look at is really, really important. What you look at can affect your generations for hundreds of years. So let's be intentional, let's be thoughtful about having a plan to fill our eyes full of the things of God. When your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. And you know, unless you're cross-eyed or double-minded, you can't really be looking at two things at the same time. Be single-minded about looking at the things of God and watch what he does in your life. Boom, Selah. Hey guys, as always, if you're new to my YouTube channel, why not hit the subscribe button down there? Why not share this video on social media? And we have an email newsletter we send out as well. There should be a subscribe link below, and we'd love to get that into your inbox. Thanks for watching, guys. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now.